Does anyone really know what is going on in Iran? The news is breaking like crazy this afternoon, and we are in a circumstance where I have no idea who or what to believe. Welcome to Drive Time. It's our second hour. On CNN, the headline right now, early U.S. intel suggests that U.S. bombing on Iran only set back Iran's nuclear program by a few months. And the New York Times has that same story. White House, if you go over to Fox News, is blaming a, quote, low-level loser for Iran intel leak. White House says assessment is flat out wrong. Remember when news media was sort of fact-checking things often? And today, how do you fact-check anything as it's going on? Because everyone is spinning. I don't know if the preliminary classified U.S. report that says our bombing, did it do anything? Did it not? I don't know what to believe. I would tell you right now, I will give, and I imagine most of you are going to give the benefit of the doubt to whoever you agree with politically, right? The New York Times report says the bombing sealed off the entrances to two of the nuclear facilities that Iran had, but did not collapse their underground buildings. So they're saying it set back the nuclear program by only a few months. The White House and President Trump has said the nuclear facilities were obliterated. You know, one man's obliterated, another man's, well, we knocked off the entrance. It is suspicious that Congress was going to be briefed on this today, and now that session is being pushed back to Thursday. I think you can say that this action and the bluster and the tough talk from President Trump was effective. To me, it was effective. But as always, you have to, if you're in the Trump White House, you have to take something that was effective in that it was an instrument that was used to lead to a ceasefire, however tenuous, but that ceasefire has been holding after a little bit of overnight drama. It's been holding throughout the day, Israel and Iran. And so you say, all right, the U.S. launched a couple of bombs. No Americans lost their lives or were injured or anything like that. And we stopped the conflict. Isn't that enough? Like, I'm sorry, I guess, like, and now we're going to spend 2 days saying, like, no, they're lying, fake news, loser this, loser that, because we can't just tell the truth. It is sort of a disgusting era of American politics that look, White Houses have always spun and they've always selectively shared information, right? If you want to consider withholding information to be lying, then every White House has lied. This White House appears to me to do it with glee and vigor and all in all the time. And so everything is the greatest obliteration in the history of the world when maybe it's less. Now, the caution, of course, is that this preliminary report, only 5 pages, is the early assessment, right? Like it, I think we've been saying all along that it's going to take a little while to know what the long-term impact is. To me, even if all we did was collapse this and push them back a couple of months, that's good enough for me. It does not solve the nuclear problem with Iran. It does not solve the fact that you have an awful, oppressive regime in Iran. But it did put a stop, at least for now, to a rapidly escalating fight. So, you know, why can't they just take the win? And why do they have to turn it into some goofball nominated Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize today? Some sycophant trying to impress the leader by nominating him for the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, settle down. To me, it was, and perhaps you heard Dean Phillips on with Chad Hartman today, it's good. It was good. It was not the obliteration. It's always got to be over the top. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we are going to talk a little bit about the one bomb that, without question, I can vouch for that bomb landing, and that was the F-bomb that President Trump launched today. We'll talk about that in the Dear Rush Hour News headlines. The lead, let's break in just a minute. Really interesting story about when it's okay to approach an athlete for an autograph. We're in a weird world when it comes to autograph hunting. There is a run-in with the WNBA player that raises some questions. We'll talk about that when we come back. Outside of WCCO, we see this all the time. Not because people are trying to collect Dan and my autograph, but we see it at the hotel next door, where a lot of times athletes stay. You see this crowd of people with these big books of trading cards trying to get autographs. And it's a weird deal. It's a weird deal. It has become an industry. So here in Minnesota, a story recounted at The Athletic, the LA Sparks were in town. And Kelsey Plum, a big time player with the LA Sparks, has a run-in with a Minnesota guy. So Kelsey Plum is like near Target Center because they're playing the Lynx. And she, you know, she's big time, three-time WNBA All-Star. Her autographed trading cards have value. And these guys are waiting outside her hotel, because that's where autograph hounds wait. They wait outside the hotel. She said that she thought it was weird for men to be waiting outside of her hotel with books of things to sign. Don't you find it kind of weird, like low key, she said. She wasn't like freaking out. She, in fact, signed one of these cards. Now, the man in the encounter who is asking for autographs has a TikTok account, and he's got a local eBay store. Well, he's local, but he has an eBay store. His name is Nick Peterson. And while I don't think there's anything creepy about waiting outside a hotel for autographs, I do find it to be weird. So to me, I'm a no on creepy. I'm a yes on weird. Let me play you the audio of the interaction. It's a little hard to hear, but you'll hear Kelsey.
The bus is right here.
Yeah. Don't y'all find that kind of weird? Low key. Come on.
A little, but
I'm really turned off right now.
I'm just a fan, though.
I know. I appreciate that.
You signed one. You put my name on it.
Awesome. I signed one.
Can I get you on that one?
So he's holding like a bunch of her cards.
Keep going with this year. Appreciate that. Whichever one.
I don't like the autograph hounds outside of the hotel. And if I were a player, I wouldn't want to sign any of that, because you know where it's going. And Dan, you see these guys all the time. And usually it's baseball.
Baseball team stand next door, yeah.
Right. And The bummer of this is, and this has been an issue for a long time, because my kids, when they were little, had baseball cards for every Minnesota Twins player. And they sent the cards to the players to get them autographed. Mm-hmm. And I had them write like a handwritten letter. So the players would know that this wasn't, you know, this was the handwriting of an 8-year-old, not the handwriting of like somebody who's going to go turn around and sell it.
Right.
So this selling autographs issue has always been a thing. But I think like social media and the video aspect of it and the fact that, you know, you do have players today worried more about stalkers and weirdos and whatever, to have people camping out of the hotel and sort of, in this case, the team moved from one hotel to another.
Mm-hmm.
So that made the players especially like, what the hell? Like, how do you know we're over here? And these guys had just heard the bus driver talking and then they followed the bus driver.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what we do about it, but if I were a player, I didn't have
any problem with what Kelsey said, and then she ended up signing for it anyway. Where I get annoyed with these guys, look, I mean, if you can get autographs and make money off of them, you have the right to do that. It's a capitalist country. Go do your thing.
Yep.
Just don't be frauds about it, right? Don't sit there and say, well, I'm actually just a really big fan.
I'm a fan.
No, you're not a big fan. You're a guy trying to make some money, and that's, you have the right to do that. And then you read the quotes the guy gave in the newspaper article, and, well, you know, people do this, and it brings them a lot of joy, and these athletes, why won't they just... No. Meanwhile, he's making how many thousands of dollars on eBay? He's got his own storefront on eBay.
Right.
Selling these things, right? Just be honest about what you're doing. Some of the athletes have tried to get around this, and this is where I really kind of get annoyed, is some of the athletes try to get around this by telling these guys, I'm only signing for kids. You know, with your example of the kids sending cards,
right.
I'm only going to sign for the kids because then I know it's not... And so when you see one of these guys with their binders full of cards and there happens to be a little kid standing next to them, guess what that's about?
Right. You know.
Then they send the kid to go get the autograph. And that's where it's almost like a game at that point that they're trying to beat the system. And that's where it gets distasteful to me. Again, you can do what you do. It's a free country.
Yeah.
But to complain about an athlete not signing because she's a little concerned that you figured out what hotel that they're moving to? Yeah, I think that's a fair concern on her part.
I think you're being nicer about this than I am. I think that this culture, the selling of autographs, and I understand there's a market, and I understand this is America, but I do think they've ruined it for real fans and for kids. Because if you're a player, you're always on guard. And you're like... Now, some of this is just player selfishness, right, where they're trying to protect their own money and their own signings where they get paid. But I think for a lot of players, like, look, you want to be nice to the fans. You don't have an industry without the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, do you really, every time you leave your hotel or come back to the hotel or at the airport or wherever these guys are, texts are saying that some of the biggest names in WWE are having problems with airports.
Airports especially. They get mobbed at airports.
I mean, these are public places. You're a public figure. That's, but shouldn't there be, like, I don't know. You can't legislate
that's
it?
That's just it. You can't make a rule against it. You know, it's not like the hotels, and we've seen this up the road, the hotels will usually rope off an area and say, okay, it's a public sidewalk, but you have to at least remain in this area. And you can ask. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking, and the player has every right to say no. So, you know, I only sign at the ballpark, or I only sign at the arena, or you know what I'm saying? Or I only sign for kids. There are ways that you can get around it without being a complete jerk about it. And like I said, I don't think Kelsey was a jerk at all. I don't think Kelsey did anything wrong. I thought she handled it beautifully. So
it's a challenge. And frankly, I think there's a gender component to this too, that when you have WNBA female athletes, when it was, I mean, these are mostly guys who are these autograph hounds who are selling this stuff. So when you have guys who are staking out the hotel of the women athletes, sorry, it adds a different component to it.
Absolutely does.
It just, I find it very strange.
And at the same time, you know, you mentioned you're a public figure. There's going to be added stuff that you have to deal with as a public figure. Should you have to? No, but we're just being practical. That's there. And so, again, you know, there's a way to handle it and there's a way, you know, not to handle it. Teams obviously are increasing security and making sure that, you know, their athletes are being looked after, and they should. It's a shame that this sort of thing has to happen. It just is. And this is the world we live in.
Yeah. Minnesota. What are we doing? It always makes me nervous when I see some sort of national story and it's like, and the Minnesota connection is like, oh, no.
Just when you see this story like this or you see a social media post from a guy like this, you're not feeling sorry for the autograph seeker at that point. Sorry.
I don't think so. We're going to break when we come back to Russia Eats' incredible story of a couple of local entrepreneurs who started with one pizza place, and I think they just opened this week their 10th. Crazy growth. Tono Pizzeria and Cheesecakes. The co-founders join us in just a minute here on Drive Time. And Russia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. Today we have a story of two guys who started with one pizza place. And over the last 6 years, effective this week, have opened 10. Pretty amazing growth. And they got one of them in my town of Maple Grove. It's a delicious pizza. And the cheesesteak, I don't want to say which is better. We'll ask our guests who are with us in studio for DeRussia Eats. Shaz Khan and Antonio Gambino are with us from Tono Pizzeria and Cheesesteak. It's good to see you guys.
Hello. Good to see you, too. Good
to see
you.
How'd I do with my Antonio Gambino?
It was spot on, just like we practiced.
That's right. Can you guys believe that you, just this week in Elk River, opened your 10th Tono?
It's been a wild ride. I mean, honestly, to see the communities come out and support us. I mean, some of the folks we see have been to every single one of our openings, which is a testament to everything that we're trying to build, and that's a spot for the community to get together.
What do you think, Antonio, the key to success has been?
First, I mean, obviously having great food, but I think a lot of people have great food. I think to really set yourself apart, it's the service, it's the hospitality, it's your staff, all of those things combined, I think, separates us from other people.
Started in Maplewood, and although you guys have been thinking about pizza and thinking about cheese sticks for a long time, why don't you tell the sort of the family history behind this?
Well, it's your family. Go ahead, man.
Shaz tells it better.
Shaz tells it better.
Yeah.
It's your family.
Andrew. Yeah. You know, my dad's from Italy. My mom's from Philadelphia. I grew up there. We moved here in 93. I grew up in Minnesota, too. I grew up in the pizza industry. You know, summer breaks from school were me going in and working with my mom and dad and helping any way I can. Even though I was a young kid, I couldn't do a ton. Through that, I just fell in love with the industry. I just love making pizzas, and seeing people's reaction is really what it's all about. And when they enjoy your product and your food, it feels great. Graduated high school, worked full time with my parents downtown Minneapolis, in 811 LaSalle. Andrea Pizza. Yeah, we have three locations down here still. My brother owns two. I own one. Shaz and I went to high school together, and we're like, we got to do something together eventually. And I just was like, hey, man, what do you think? We open up a pizzeria in Dinkytown.
He's skipping one part, and that's that he tried to get me to do his homework in high school.
That was his first job. That was his first test. If you can do this, you
my
can do
response
anything.
Was, of course... You're going to have to pay me.
Well, right. Yeah. If the money's good enough, I mean, why not?
Yeah. This is a cheese
Shaz, you didn't know what a cheesesteak was, right?
That's absolutely correct. He told me he wanted to, you know, bring back the cheesesteak. And I'm like, what do you mean bring back? I don't even know what that thing is. So, we flew out to Philly where he gave me the introductory tour to both some of his extended family back in 2014, I want to say. As well as all of the spots, Pats, Geno's, Prince, etc. And came back, and he was just honing in on his craft every weekend, every day almost. He would have some modification to this masterpiece that he was calling the cheesesteak, and every time it got better. So I saw somebody who was deeply dedicated to his craft, and I knew that with the pizza, but now I got to see it happen with the sandwich, and I was like, all right, he's serious, so I got to be serious.
Describe the pizza style, because it's cooked. You see the beautiful pizza of him right in all of the stores. It's cooked pretty fast, but it's not Neapolitan. It's not that fast.
It's not. I would say it's like a Neapolitan, which is a new version of the Neapolitan, where it's like a hybrid New York and Neapolitan with the char, the quality ingredients, just more crispier,
firm,
than in
firm undercarriage. Yes, if you want to nerd it out, right?
No water, no nothing. Just nice crispy pizza, but you know, I would say higher quality than a typical New York slice that you would get at a slice shop, right?
And what's your most popular pizza, and then what's your guys' favorites?
Wow, our most popular.
Just whatever
sales,
someone says
sales,
most
a margarita.
Yeah. Still, oh, really? Just straight up margarita?
It is.
That's
you know,
the
it's
real
$11.
Test of authenticity.
It is. True. If you can do a good margarita, you can really branch off and make other great pizzas.
Plus the price, $11.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we always discuss how do we become a spot that's better for lunchtime and give... I mean, you go out to eat nowadays, and it's like $30 just to... By the time you check out. So I was like, you know, how do we get, you know, a fast, casual, great quality pizza?
What's your go-to, Shaz? What do you order?
So to be honest, this is more of a new thing for me, but I actually really enjoy our gluten-free crust. Like, I'm not gluten-free, but like I eat it. I just love the flavor. It's a cauliflower base, and it's unlike any other cauliflower crust that I've tried, to be quite honest. I really like it, but I'm a Classico guy. Just a plain cheese pizza. That's the tried and tested variant for me. But I'm also a big fan of mushrooms. So we have a fungi, and
fungi. The fungo. That's a good one too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fungo. Yes. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah. I tried to correct you like really subtly. Though. I tried to do it really subtly. Our guests are Shaz Khan and Antonio Gambino from Tono Pizzeria and Cheese Steak. So to go, how do you go from 1 to 10, like in 6 years? It's so fast. The cost of like rent in so many of these locations, especially as you've been expanding really very much into the suburbs. You started in Maplewood, was St. Paul number two?
Yep.
And then you look at all of your locations. You're in Apple Valley, Invergrove Heights, Chan, Woodbury, Coon Rapids. What did I miss? Southwest Minneapolis, Maple Grove. Yep. So
Elk River.
It is, that's a crazy rate of expansion. So how do you do it? How do you get the money?
Well, we have great partners. You know, we're half of the Tono tribe at the ownership level. Mm. You know, we've expanded that partnership to more friends of ours, actually, who, you know, we have in-house construction, we have in-house real estate expertise. And between all of us, you know, and our primary lending institution, you know, we make it all work. So, you know, we're very grateful not to have had to go outside for capital for growth. And that's allowed us to do things creatively and efficiently.
Pretty great. It has to be gratifying to have that network of friends, that network of people you know and you trust. Because you're both pretty young, right? How old are you, Antonio?
41.
41, and Shaz?
40.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 50, so I look at you and I'm like, you're a couple of young guys. Yeah. You hang around with 20-year-old employees. They think you're very old.
Right.
But that is like, you know, when you look at local, I don't know, do you like being described as a chain?
No.
You're close. You're a multi-unit restaurant, though.
So, yeah, absolutely.
You're close to punch size, right? How many spots do they have?
Around the same, I think. Yeah. You know,
I think they got to 12 or 14 at some point.
We have a couple more coming soon this year. So you're
breaking
looking at
news.
Me like...
Where are you going? Who's getting a Tono? Give me a clue.
Well, I can give you the location.
All right.
The news is out there somewhere. So North Loop. Northam's getting one.
Ah, that's right. Yes.
And,
congrats.
Go ahead with the other one.
Wayzata?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Are there differences for you? Like, I mean, the communities you cover are so different. Obviously, you're in Elk River, and you'll see how that develops. But you look at, like, Chanhassen versus St. Paul, or what the North Loop experience, they might want more late night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who knows? Are all the stores different, or do they end up being pretty similar?
As far as like operating hours or just
like your experience with them, the guests.
Yeah. I would say like when you look at sales, they can differ a little bit to like Coon Rapids, Elk River, those locations. I mean, we sell a lot of cheesesteaks versus pizza, where it's like St. Paul, it's more heavy pizzas. We still sell a lot of cheesesteaks, As far as the late night, yeah, it's definitely something we're going to look into with the North Loop being so close to kind of where everyone hangs out at the bars and all that. But yeah, I mean, each store has its one unique pizza, so I try to build it around to what I think that community would like. Mm. Sometimes I do good, sometimes not so good.
Having that sort of local connection.
Feel, yeah. We want it to feel, I mean, we discuss it all the time. We don't want to ever feel like a chain. I think a lot of people walk in and feel like this is still a Minnesota brand from Minnesota guys that are doing a great job and care about each community that they're in. And we kind of hand those tools off to our general managers and our staff. And like, this is your story. You own this. You know, when people walk in to Maple Grove, they should know you. We want it to feel that connection, not like you walk into this big chain and there's new employees every day, right?
Our texters are asking questions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're talking about Antonio or Shaz. Wondering if our guest is a relation to Mario, who had a pizza place in Matamida. No.
I don't know if I should say yes.
Yes.
That's my uncle.
That's your uncle.
Yeah.
Your uncle had a...
On my dad's side, Mario. Yeah, Mario Gambino.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
See, the texters know.
That's awesome.
What does it mean personally to kind of see the reception that you've had, see the jobs that you've created, see the kind of excitement when you end up opening a new store? Because you still, 6 years in, are that shine is still there, I think. Whenever news comes that you're coming somewhere, people get excited, which I think is very... Back with DeRussia Eats, our guests are from Tono Pizzeria and Cheesesteak, which just opened their 10th location. They started 6 years ago from one store to 10. Pretty great story, and they're continuing to rise, sharing two more new locations that are opening soon here in the Twin Cities. Antonio Gambino and Shaz Khan are with us. First, we congratulate Barb in Minneapolis, who just won that four-pack of tickets for the July 4th game, the Twins game on our Twins Ticket Tuesday. She heard the crack of the bat, so congratulations. 3:10 start. Be a fun way to celebrate the 4th of July. You can get tickets at twins.com/tickets. Okay, Antonio and Shaz. Pizza, you've tried a lot. Three pizza places that you guys like that are not your own.
Three each?
Three total. Whatever, three each.
I'll go first. I would say Surly. I think they have a really good pizza.
That's a good pizza. The upstairs?
Yes. I enjoyed it. That's probably the best I've had in Minnesota.
Antonio gives the love to Surly. That's very good. How about you, Sha?
Red Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's
that place is special, too. Like, you just feel good when you go into that restaurant, you know?
Yeah, they're doing it right. Yeah. You know, hospitality is the name of the game, and they're doing it right.
They let you split a pizza in half, which I think is like the ultimate hospitality. So you could do like half of the banh mi and half of the whatever. And I think that's pretty cool. One other you guys like?
I'll do Rectangle.
Yeah, the Detroit style pizza.
I thought he was going to say Costco. I mean, why are you laughing?
Price, like, listen, that's good pizza. That Costco pizza is pretty good.
It is good.
Do you guys get sick of eating pizza ever?
Occasionally.
A little bit, yeah.
I can probably eat a cheesesteak daily. It's like a nighttime thing.
Morning pizza. You both are so skinny. Like, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, this makes no sense.
There's a lot of Fat Tonys in this guy. That's why we named it Fat Tony.
I don't get sick of it. It's just, I don't know. It's exciting every time.
Well, we're so thrilled for your success. Congratulations on Elk River, the latest store that just opened.
Thank you so much.
And from 1 to 10... And let's go to 20 and 30 and 40. Why not?
I love it.
If people want it, they'll get it.
It's pizza, man. Dan Cook, the pickiest eater in the world. Pizza is always a yes.
What's my favorite food? Pizza.
They have salads, too. You know, I always get a salad.
Yeah.
You gotta throw it on there. You gotta have something green.
Thank you, guys. D-Rush Hour News headline, the lead coming up, the... Big time bomb the president dropped today. We'll talk about it next.